Welcome to Truth for Today. The subject for our consideration today is Spiritual Battles and Prophecy. Our speaker is George Stevens.
A good teacher will organize his lessons so that there's a degree of repetition and yet further progression of learning. That is exactly what God does with Daniel. Over the years, he's given him teaching about the future. At first, it was a general picture, outlining the kingdoms of the world when Jerusalem would be under Gentile dominion, chapters 2-7. He then proceeded to give Daniel more details concerning his people Israel in a time to come, chapter 9. Now we find a prelude to even more detail about the future of Israel that is outlined in chapter 11. In our present chapter, we find two things. One, God's messengers are presented to Daniel, and two, an insight is given into heavenly battles that affect earthly events. The first verse gives us the background of the vision. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. The third year of Cyrus' rule as king over Babylon was BC 536. Cyrus had issued his decree allowing the Jews to return to their land and to rebuild their temple. Some of them had departed for Jerusalem in BC 538 under Zerubbabel's leadership. Daniel would have been in his 80s in BC 536. This may have been the reason he remained in Babylon. He actually retired from public office in the first year of Cyrus. The message revealed to Daniel came from God. The matter to which verse 1 refers is described as a certainty, although it would involve great conflict, which is the true meaning of the time appointed was long. Unlike the previous dreams, this message was given to him by the word of mouth, and Daniel understood what was meant. In verses 2 and 3, we have Daniel's personal preparations. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, and so on. In verse 2 of this chapter, we find that Daniel had been mourning for 3 literal weeks. He was really earnest in wanting to know the detailed meaning of those things revealed to him. It reminds us of the Apostle Paul, who wanted fellow Christian believers to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, in order that their lives would please the Lord. To increase in the knowledge of God, and be strengthened, enduring, long-suffering, and joyful. Daniel's diet had been limited during that time. He had eaten no pleasant food and no meat. He had drunk no wine. We live in a day where there is a falling away from the truth. Even Christians are being deceived by a departure from the Word of God. Those who see this happening need to have this attitude of Daniel. Even knowing the future, he could still lament the difficulties that his people would go through. How often do we lament the present apathy among Christians? How often are we found fasting and praying about the situation? We know that God will always have a faithful remnant. Let's pray that it may be a huge one. Furthermore, Daniel's mourning shows us that a man who identifies himself with the people of God in this way also touches the heart of God himself. By doing so, the Lord is pleased to reveal himself to Daniel and to teach him. Christian, remember the words of the Lord Jesus? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. John 14, verse 21. We then come to Daniel's vision of the man by the river Hiddekel in verses 4-9. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, and a further description is given. We don't know why Daniel had gone to the river Hiddekel, believed to be the river Tigris, but he would have needed to cross it in order to get to Shushan, which he was known to visit, chapter 8, verse 2. We also know that the Jewish Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread fell from the 14th day through to the 21st day of the first month, so he may have gone to a gathering of the captives in order to have some form of remembrance of these. This idea may be supported by Psalm 137, verse 1, which reads, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion." It was 3 weeks afterwards that God gave Daniel a vision that he alone saw. Interestingly, Hiddekel means fast-flowing, and was one of the tributaries of the river that passed through Eden, the Garden of Delights. Therefore, we may take it that God's purposes are fast-flowing, and although the meanings of the prophecies were delayed in the eyes of men, God's word will come to pass quickly, as far as he is concerned. Unlike the messages in other visions, the certain man whom Daniel saw in this vision was able to move and speak. Daniel could feel his touch. This would make him a high-ranking messenger of God. He may have been the Son of God himself, but in the form of an archangel. Later in the chapter, we read of Michael, the chief of princes. There the word princes stands for the angels, good or bad, of different countries. Michael himself was the angel with special responsibility for the nation of Israel. Some commentators, however, do not believe this certain man to be the Son of God, because he needed the help of Michael, see verse 13. But if he were acting in angelic form, then he would have restricted himself to angelic powers, just as he felt fatigue, sorrow, and pain when in the form of a man on earth. The similarities between this living image and the one Ezekiel and the Apostle John argue for his being divine. Compare Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, Revelation 1, 13 to 17, and Revelation 2, verse 18. In these scriptures, the prophets fell on their faces. In the case of John, he fell at his feet as dead. It was like this with Daniel. He was drained of strength and dropped to the ground. Furthermore, his own beauty or excellency was turned to destruction. How this reminds us of Job, when he was confronted with the glory of the Lord, his Creator. He said, "Behold, I am vile." Job 40, verse 4. So as I proceed, I shall seek to apply the vision of the certain man to the Son of God, appearing as the angel of the Lord. The linen dress in which the messenger appeared reminds us of the pre-existence and priestly character of our Lord. It was men of high rank, Genesis 41:42, or the priests, Leviticus 6, verse 10, that wore linen garments. The Lord Jesus Christ is both king and priest. Pure gold, which is the case here, usually speaks of holiness. Exodus chapter 28, verse 36 reads, "And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it the engravings of a signet, Holiness to the Lord." Then again, the holy city of Revelation 21 was described as being pure gold. The Son of God is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. Uphaz was a place well known for its mining of gold. It is thought to be Ophir, as listed by the translators of the Syriac version of the Old Testament in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 9. The location of Ophir is also uncertain, but it's believed to have been located in southwest Arabia in what is now known as Yemen. Ophir means fruitful, reminding us that the Lord Jesus is the true vine of John chapter 15, and that the Spirit of God dwelt in him. His body was like the beryl. Beryl means to break or subdue. It reveals the Lord Jesus as the one who is able to put down every principality and power. This in turn reminds us of the victory procession recorded in Colossians chapter 2 verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. His face was likened to lightning. Such was the greatness of his glory. Reminds us that the appearance of Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration was like lightning, expressing the glory of the Lord as King. His eyes were lamps of fire, speaking of his testing discernment, namely that of a judge. His arms and feet being like polished brass speak of his servant and walk being marked by righteousness that endured the testing fire of God's judgment. He is Jesus Christ, the righteous. Finally, the voice of his words being like the voice of a multitude expresses the power of his word. Compare Psalm 29. Hence it represents the power of the truth. Daniel's companions sensed that something remarkable was happening. They shook with fear and quickly hid themselves. We have seen how Daniel must have dropped to the ground because he's found face down in a deep sleep, or better, a dazed state. It is then that Daniel is reassured and the overall subject of the revelation is made known in verses 10 to 14. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand. The end of this little section finishes with, Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. The man touched Daniel in a similar way to our Lord laying his right hand on John in Revelation 1, verse 17. The word set has the idea of shaking gently, and Daniel found himself on all fours. The angelic being spoke using the Hebrew name Daniel, immediately informing us that the message would apply to Israel in particular. He then described Daniel as a man greatly beloved. God had set his heart upon Daniel. The prophet gave him great delight. Then Daniel is commanded to understand the words of the Lord's messenger. He is also ordered to stand up at the point where he was. The man informed Daniel that he'd been sent to him personally, showing that there was a measure of intimacy between them. Daniel stood up, still shuddering. The angel of the Lord, realizing how Daniel felt, told him not to be afraid. He went in to inform the prophet that God had heard his first prayer for understanding and that what was to follow came in answer to that petition. The messenger noted that Daniel had humbled himself in order to learn the mind of God. May we, as Christians, do the same. The verse is also encouraging to us as Christians because it shows that there may be delays in our prayers because of hindrances from satanic forces. In this case, the prince of the kingdom of Persia had been instrumental in delaying the will of God. Here, prince refers to an angel with the responsibility for the kingdom of Persia. He was a bad or fallen angel, hence his great power. He had hindered the progress of Daniel's messenger for the 3 weeks that Daniel had been fasting and praying. We know from verse 20 that the delay had been caused by a battle taking place in the heavens. The unseen struggle between the holy angels and the fallen angels parallels the political and social conditions of the nations of the world. There is angelic influence for good and for evil. From this we can see that Satan and his forces seek only to bring down God's counsels and purposes relative to mankind in general. The Apostle Paul refers to this continuing battle in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Today, Christ sits at the right hand of God. He is far above all principality and power, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Ephesians 1:21. The messenger who spoke to Daniel had performed some duty in Persia that involved the kings or rulers of that land. However, having been commanded by God to visit Daniel, he was unable to leave because of the power of the bad angel who exercised strong influence over Persia. The angel Michael, a chief of princes or angels, visited the appointed messenger and helped him prevail there with the kings of Persia. He seems to have taken his place as a substitute while Daniel was visited. The plural kings of Persia suggests that all the rulers of the Persian Empire would be amenable to the purposes of God regarding the restoration of Israel. So the certain man had come to explain to Daniel what would happen to the Jews in the end of the days, that is, in the distant future. Verses 15 to 17 tell of Daniel's continuing weakness. They begin with, "And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground." And it ends with, "Neither is there breath left in me." Upon hearing the messenger's explanation for the delay, Daniel bows his head and is speechless. When the Lord reveals things to us from his word, are we deeply affected by them, or do we simply file them away as we do other knowledge? The one who had the appearance of a man then touched his lips and enabled him to speak. Daniel addresses him as his ruler or master, using the word Adon. This word is used by David in Psalm 110, verse 1, where he writes, "The Lord, Yahweh, said unto my Lord, Adon, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool." David was speaking of Christ. Daniel explained that the vision had caused him overwhelming anxiety and had robbed him of his strength. He went on to say that he was a bondman of this Lord and was not worthy to speak with him in this way. Furthermore, he lacked the strength to do anything and the breath to say anything. It was then that the messenger touched Daniel again in order to strengthen him. Verses 18 to 19. It begins, "Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man." And it ends with, "For thou hast strengthened me." In his book on Daniel, Harry Bell writes, "So in verse 10, God touched him and made him stand. In verse 16, he touched him and made him speak. In verse 18, he touched him and made him strong." Beloved, Daniel, faced with these wonders of prophecy, felt overwhelmed, helpless. It brought him low. But in the light of all that prophetic truth, God touched him, made him stand, speak, and made him strong. Often we may feel the same way, but the Lord is pleased to bless us. The messenger repeated the complimentary description, "O man greatly beloved," which reassured Daniel. He was also encouraged not to fear, but to feel at peace and be strong. How these words remind us of the exhortations of Paul to his fellow believers. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 2 Timothy 2 verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The aged prophet was strengthened and asked the messenger to continue. It's at this point the messenger gives an explanation of his activities. The messenger informed Daniel that he needed to return to resume fighting against the demon who was influencing Persia. Verse 13. When that rebel had been dealt with, then the bad angel of the Grecian Empire would follow. On the one hand, this showed that the Persian Empire would fall to the Greek, and on the other, that there are always heavenly conflicts to gain the controlling power over earthly governments. The scripture or writing of truth not only refers to all the recorded revelation of God to men up to that time, but that which has been recorded in the heavens. So the two chapters that follow contain details that, like the heavenly warfare spoken of, had been previously outside of human knowledge. The messenger then declares that only Michael shows himself strong in dealing with these things. He works with the Son of God. You may say that this degrades the person of the Son. After all, he is all-powerful and can put down all opposition at will. Yet the Son of God is pleased to work with men who love God. For example, in Mark 16, verse 20, we read, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen." There is a sense in which the Lord needs the help of no one. Yet in his eternal purposes, he is pleased to serve God alongside people like us. Why shouldn't this be the case with those angelic beings who obey the living God? Another reason that the Archangel Michael stands with Christ in these matters is that he is responsible for the overall care of God's people Israel. Note the words spoken to Daniel, "Michael, your prince." The word "your" is plural, referring to all the people of Israel, not just to Daniel. This is made clear in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, where we find, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people." The power of this angel is amazing because in a future day, acting in the protection of Israel, he will take on the devil himself. Revelation 12 verse 7 states, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven." What a champion Michael is for Israel. How much more of a champion is Christ for us?